With the argument of the opposition, I would like to say to you, let us start with that 7.3.1 as a conclusion we slotted today for ourselves.
Yeah, we're dealing with 7.3.1 as proposed by Honorable Compeller, that I want to add some few bullets on yeah, 3.1 on that very paragraph. Honorable Karen?
I think basically this is helpful because people who read this report in the ATC in the next 24 hours or 48 hours will not actually have a copy of the Proud-Moore report. And I think what we should do is ask the researchers to summarize the recommendations and conclusions. In other words, don't repeat the entire thing, because the sentence reads, the ANC members, where is it, 731, it says that we refer, what we can say, let's ask Christine to say something like that, if this is agreeable, so that when we come back with the wording, we're not going to quibble. We agree now, in principle, that it reads something like that. You see, it says, ANC members also draw attention to that special report. Yeah, it's in here that the Kazu Committee is coming. Then we say something like, in particular, attention is drawn to the conclusions as essentially set out here, the recommendations and conclusions, as unanimously adopted by all parties. And then, obviously, we will have to say something like, because it's consistent with the argument of the majority party, it is regrettable that some, I don't know how long, a year later, that no action has been taken, as recommended by the JSCI, as recommended by, unanimously recommended by the JSCI, no action has been taken against the perpetrators. And ultimately, of course, this reflects on the NPA director, because the head of the unit is a corporate unit as a whole is responsible. So in short, it's merely a repetition of what is there in the Proud-Moore report with an extra paragraph. Thank you.
Yeah, I don't see an opposing view, because anyway, what you're saying was also adopted by the National Assembly as it is. Is that what you're saying? But what I propose that let it be summarized, those only three bullets that were done with.
I think my reason why was the content of that report actually referred to in the discussions here in this committee.
Honorable Karen?
As you will recall, and the researchers can help us in this regard, and we can check it, my understanding is it was repeatedly referred to by Cecil Burgess, as you recall. And some of the questions I posed personally, I can recall, were based on the report. I indeed had read browsed through the key parts of the report before I came that morning when I raised my own question. But I don't think we should reduce it to three bullet points, as it were. I think we should just hand over to the competent researchers, Joe and Christine, to summarize it, but not reduce it to three bullet points. What they must summarize is the recommendations and the conclusions. Not fully word for word, otherwise it will be too long. Thanks.
Okay, thanks very much. Are you comfortable, Honorable Compeller?
Yes.
Good. Taken. Now, having agreed on that one, our researchers and staff are going to give us the summarized version. Welcome, Honorable Burgess. I've got to apologize that we're still doing the JSCI.
I'm not sure what we are agreeing on. I'm agreeing to nothing. We are waiting until we see exactly what points are brought in, then we can decide whether we agree. And we need also to have a re-look then at the findings of the Voila, of the Krauss mode.
No, it's fine. Let's wait until they bring that summarized version. It's fine. But what they were saying, just to summarize briefly what was said in that report. But it's fine. There's no change much. We can do that. But do you want to come in, Honorable Compeller? Are you fine? Okay, good. Having done that, we can now, having concluded section 7, we can now go to 7 as changed, as amended, and bring the, and look at the proposal from the opposition parties. led by Dr. Belfort. We have gone through that document, all of us. I think we can now engage.
We go face by face.
Is it what you're proposing? Because I want to check with the ANC members.
No,
that's how I
No, Chair. Okay. This document is the production of the opposition. And we are not going to go page by page on this document. We will be raising with them some of the things that we feel that they are accommodated on this report, and therefore they must raise other things that are not there. But it's just going to waste a sheer waste of time. Because there are other things that were picked up by and large of the things that they raised in that document, which would make accommodation on them on there. So I don't think that it's necessary to read that document page by page.
So the proposal that
if
I can address you, Honorable, what the compiler is saying that there might be no need for us to go page by page. What they will do is to engage the document because some of the issues, all the issues that are raised here, they are aware of them because that I have in some other.
I was merely hoping that if we go page by page, then I can identify some typographical errors.
No. Since it's your document, I think they are comfortable to tackle it without going page by page. They are happy to deal with it without going page by page.
Chairperson, then I want to refer page 1. 8.1, which is now 7.1, second line, Inkatha Freedom Front. We are Inkatha Freedom Party.
Thanks for that word. Yes, now I'm reading the documents from the opposition parties. I saw your hand was up, Honorable Karen, to deal with this matter of the opposition parties.
Can I raise an issue? For example, why do we need this initial paragraph? I mean, it's obvious that these are opposing parties elsewhere in the report. And if you look at your first point, can I just ask for clarity's sake, right? You're saying that there's no relationship, if I understand the point, remember what I said it quickly, right? You're saying there's no relationship between three things, what the president Mbeki wrote as an explanation for the suspension, and then what was said in the Jinwala inquiry, and then what was said at the in the letter of the President Motlanthe in removing Advocate Kekoli. Now, I just want to ask, what's the difference between that? It's a long version of what's here under the current 7.7. Shifting of the goalposts, those are your words. So what's the difference between the two? Can I just go through it and just show you that much of what you say. Firstly, my comment was coming because I'm not sure. See, instead of my offering my own views, I really think that other comrades should come in so that we clear what our collective response is. So I just want to draw attention to these things and where I am, if you like, not reflecting. Obviously, we are study groups, okay? And we agree on issues now collectively, like you've collectively agreed on that document. Presumably, you met and saw a draft done by Dr. Delport. Similarly, we collectively discussed the issue. And in the rush of doing so, I may not be accurately reflecting some of the issues. So I say it cautiously because there are other people who will correct me if I'm wrong. I think the view collectively that we discussed, with some obviously differences of emphasis, because we are a broad front, is, as I understand it, that much of what you say is actually covered in the report, and the only thing for you to show us where it isn't, and where it isn't will be guided by the chairs, and we can add to it. So the first point you're making is shifting of the goalposts, is the language used by the researcher, and it's the word you used that I think she was referring to. The second thing on criteria of fit and proper person, your second point is the criteria of fit of, it's 8.3 of your document. You see, can I suggest, firstly, Let's go to 8.1. We can remove the parties, because that's obvious, or we can move it in the document earlier. That's not a big deal, right? The researchers can... You see, the structure of the report is such... No, can I make the point then? You can reply. You're saying the opposition parties represented in the committee are the following parties. We can take it out of here and put it up front, where it mentions the parties. It's clear that the parties are referred to. The one bullet point that can be acknowledged under the findings or something, that all the parties don't agree, that's the finding that we agree on as a majority, right? So what I'm saying is that section is, can be taken out of 8.1 and put up front to say these are the opposition, these are the other parties. That's not a problem. 8.2 is about the shifting of the goalposts. 8.3 is about what it means to be a fit and proper person and to what extent it is covered in the definition of a fit and proper person in the NPAF. That's your basic point. That is covered also by both the ANC submission and the annexure at the end. Then the issue of Piccoli's insensitivity to national security and the reasons. If you look under 7.8 and 7.10, where we say relevance of national security to fit and proper. That's your argument. In fact, that's your heading in a different way. Then the action against Piccoli, 8.5, is a witch hunt, is covered by your argument, the arrest and prosecution of the national commissioner. And the only new thing you bring up, which is interesting, and it's something I'm guided by the collective. Please note, I'm not speaking now on behalf of the collective. I'm just throwing a question out. So please, comrades, if you don't agree with me, it's not a crime. We haven't got the time. Just say if you don't agree with me, so that there's no misunderstanding about abiding by a mandate or not. The new thing that is being brought up, which I've only just noticed, actually, is you're bringing up the role of the DG. And the role of the DG and what Chinwala said. Now, my understanding from an earlier discussion we had at the ANC, that doesn't fall within our mandate, looking at the role of the DG. But nothing precludes us under the annexure to say that we think that the role of the DG should be further inquired into and reported to on Parliament. So that is my personal view. I'm not speaking about the ANC. I think the ANC comrade should come in before you reply. The reason I say that is, in any case, the Minister of Safety and Security, or the Minister of Justice, and the President have already, I think, set a process along the lines, I think, if I recall, the Public Service Commission carrying out an inquiry into the role of the DG. Now, as usual with the executive, we're not clear what happens to some of these reports. And I think given the nature of this inquiry and the importance of what's happened and the role of director generals in situations like this, we might want to say, and again I'm speaking to myself, comrades should disagree if they want, it's no crime, there's no need to have another study group. I'm saying that maybe we should require this report to say such a report should be brought to Parliament, to the appropriate committees, which means the Justice Committees. Surely, this relates to the oversight role of the Justice Committees in the NDA and the NCOP. We need to know if the DG acted in a way that's not consistent with his role, and what is Parliament going to offer the next parliamentary committee of Supply's mind. But before, I think, we give the opposition, can we check with our side, as it were? That's a reasonable reflection, so they may not have issues later. If anybody disagrees, they must feel free. Thank you, Pa.
Thank you very much, Honorable Karim, Honorable Kompela, Honorable Magwanisha.
Che, it strikes us, because really it was not within the mandate of this committee to deal with the issues of the DG. But maybe the point that the opposition is raising might be a genuine point. On the basis of the annexure, that these kind of things must be looked at by the committee, I would agree on the ground, but it cannot be brought in as a major when it is not our point of reference. I would concede on that one.
discovered. Yes, there we are. Are we done with the engagement of the documents on the opposition? Because I want us to hear finally what I'm saying about this document. Of the Honourable Compere and the Honourable Pages.
The document from the opposition, in the first place, I don't have it. As an ANC, we don't have a difficulty. The difficulty with us is the document of the opposition. It's a submission chair. And it is not a report for. It is not part of this report. It's a submission that they are giving to us. As such, it is not even conforming to the format of the report that ourselves were engaged in. In the manner in which UNICEF is trying to bring it through the back door, maybe it's right, but it cannot be in its current form as taken as a yeasis and then it needs to be submitted there. I don't think it is correct because by itself it's a submission that they are making. It is not part of the report that we're doing. But I think in the way that UNICEF is trying to smuggle it in, it can be right because it's trying to make it to be some points of the part of the report as it might be.
Maybe the best approach would be that we look at the document and its introduction and the position of opposition. They've taken a position on the that the advocate Bikoli should be reinstated in his post for the reasons set out below. So what has to be done now is just to check in terms of the legal process. So the first point there is 8.2, the legality of the process. So maybe that is how we can guide that under the legality of the process, if you want to counter-oppose the position of opposition, you can do that. But in terms of us, then we can go on and on up until we exhaust everything. Such that at the end of the process, we say, because this discussion here, an elaboration, is actually leading us to the findings which appeared in the document yesterday. So, wittingly or unwittingly, whatever you deal with will end up in the argument of the debate, whether the argument which is brought by opposition is stronger than the argument which is brought by the majority party. So I'm sure that we can go on confront issues from page one and go to page two, etc., up until we say what is the status of this, because earlier on we did say we agree up until 6.6, then we make an insertion of 0.7. So we should say at the end of the day is the status. So I'm sure that I'm in order in trying to give guidance in this regard. That was, is it you? Now let's have Honorable Pages, then we'll come to what is that Nyambe, and after Nyambe, then it will be you, sir.
Thank you, Jefferson. I looked at the document. I'm not exactly sure how we intend to deal with it, but I see a very stalking omission here, and I just wanted to put a question. I don't know who is the spokesperson for this document, but I see the document doesn't deal with the plasma report at all, and given that Parliament has a view already on this plasma report, I'm just wondering, is there a reason why there is this omission? Is perhaps because they're conceding that the manner in which the Brasmo report is dealt with in the present draft report is, that's okay. Can we just hear why, what's the story on the submission, Chairperson?
Thanks, Chairperson. Going through the report, what struck me is the selective quotation of the report by
the Jinala Commission. I felt that maybe it would be proper for us here to present what was given to us. If you go through the report in page 207, because an impression is being created that some people are fabricating things in this committee. So for that reason, I felt it proper that we have to go back and check the findings in 207. From the report of Dr. Chinwala, I quote, "However, in the course of this inquiry, some deficiencies in the capacity and understanding of Advocate Bikoli to fully execute the range of responsibilities attached to the office of NDPP became apparent. I feel it incumbent to draw attention to this. They center in the main on the lack of understanding by Advocate Bikoli of his responsibility to operate within a strict security environment and to ensure that the NPA and the DSO operate in a manner that takes into account the community interest and does not compromise national security. Some examples include the following. His failure to timely inform the minister and the president prior to resorting to the court to obtain warrants in cases that could have an impact on national security. His failure to recognize that the integrity of the official document could only be maintained through strict compliance with the minimum information security standards. His failure to ensure that all DSO investigators and other relevant NPA staff have the requisite security clearance and that renewal of such security status is conducted regularly. And his failure to ensure that third-party service providers, especially security companies." Why I'm drawing you to this point, Chairperson? You have a projection here from this report that present us as if we are here to come with our own findings. While at the same time we had a report that was presented to us when we happened to have an opportunity, where Reverend Chikane, we had Advocate Bikoli. And from their presentation, for us now to pretend as if we are going to be selective in dealing with the report that was given by Chinwala, if we are rejecting the report by Chinwala, we have to be clear about that and say, no, we feel this report is out, if that's our feeling. But to be selective, by the way, we are very economic with the truth. Let's deal with this report in its entirety. And in that way, we'll be able at the end to reach a conclusion of this matter in front of us. That's my submission for now, Chairperson. Thank you.
Chairperson, quite a number of the majority party spokespersons have ventured to give advice to their position on how to put their case. And that is exactly what we were worried about yesterday when we said that we would like to present our own case. We don't want the though we know that they are very competent people, but we don't want the officials to present our case from the scant arguments and the short time that we had to argue in this committee about the merits of the action against Bikoli. So we say thank you, but no thank you. We want to present our view in our own words. Now, just to explain one thing, for instance, one of the comrades said that we were not called upon to deal with the director general. If you read the report, we do not deal with the director general. We say, if you look at what Chinwala says about his evidence, then it's quite correct to say that is a witch hunt. He tried everything to throw the book at Bikoli, even with, as he felt, false accusations. So it's absolutely relevant in terms of what we present. Secondly, we're now accused of quoting selectively. We are challenging Zinwala's or how her report deals with the whole issue, of so-called national security. Nowhere does she say what is national security. There's even a reference down to political, the political environment. She does not deal with the very, very vexed question of to what extent must the duty of the national director, the duty to prosecute, to what extent will so-called national security override that duty. That is not dealt with. And we have referred to a quotation from Professor De Vos where he said, and he's an authority, national security is not a factor. Because he didn't deal with it clandestinely, he was up front. On 13 occasions, he told the minister and the president that he's busy with an investigation against Salem. So he complied with his duty to report. Now it's for the president and the minister to take the necessary steps, if at all, and I doubt that, if at all you can call it a question of national security. So, thank you. But, and that was our agreement yesterday. Our agreement was that we would be given an opportunity to put in our own words the reasons on which we rely for coming to a particular conclusion. Our conclusion is that we call it should be reinstated. And these are our combined reasons on this side. You either put it in or you throw it now, contrary to our agreement. And that is quite clear that the content of our views has now become a cat amongst the pigeons. You are worried, Chairperson, about the content of this and the effect this can have eventually. But please, you have taken your decisions, if I may, Chair, across the floor. You've taken your decisions. Live with it. Your living is not going to be easy, but live with it. We live with what we say are our reasons. Let us accept that now. And once you have accepted that, I would just draw your attention. I can do it here to one or two typographical mistakes. Thank you, sir.
Patricia today, honorable member.
Thank you, honorable chairperson. I hope we are not going to start opening up the deliberations again. But if you look at the Zinwala report, she's made some findings in favor of Advocate Pacauli. She's made some adverse findings. But in the end, she came to the conclusion on page 69, paragraph 95, where she said, Advocate Pacauli impressed me as a person of unimpeachable integrity. Impressed me as a man of unquestionable integrity, with passion to execute his constitutional responsibilities without fear, favor, or prejudice. And impressed me as a person of unimpeachable integrity and credibility, also again on page 185, paragraph 296. Now, that is looking at this holistically. Now, what seems to me is happening, and none of us is perfect, only God is perfect. And I think because only, even Pacauli said that self that day, that he's not perfect. And I think we've accepted it. But if we want to go back and reopen this now, the ANC can take any section of the report that they want to and put it into the section that they believe is relevant to them. The same on this side. We can take whatever we think is other, I think what's relevant to us. Because we are free minds and free thinkers. we're not steamrolled into believing anything. I want to answer the point of Honorable Burgess. On the Brown-Mole report, we have accepted the explanation by Advocate Piccoli because he was extensively questioned here and he had an answer for everything. And we accepted that. The omission in our report is that we can just bring in a sentence there to say that the opposition parties accept the explanation of Advocate Piccoli on the Brown-Mole report and make mention of it. That could be done. Thank you.
Then the compliance will get, can we start with Dao, then come with the deputy chief with another compeller, then it will be because men are Father Rabbi, you've got limited time of speaking because we are not a chief spokesperson of opposition. So take it easy. Take it easy. So you'll speak if you want to speak. Proceed.
No, thank you very much, Chair. Maybe just the last issue that the Honorable Delele raised around the extent to which Mr. Piccoli, Advocate Piccoli, responded to the questions related to the Brown-Mole. Lest we avoid a situation where we also apply selective memory to the issues presented before us. One of the key questions, for instance, that Advocate Piccoli, just to remind the committee, I'm not going to go back into the many or the barrage of issues that were raised with him, but one of the key important issues we raised with the advocate was the question of how, for instance, the report could not be retrieved. And for a report of such strategic and importance that has got serious implications on the security of the country. But that report, and he admitted to the fact that he doesn't know where that report is. I mean, come on. How do you say that that answer is satisfactory when it puts the country security under question? So I just wanted to remind the committee that we shouldn't be selective when it comes to that. Okay, I want to, going back to the main issue here as presented. I mean, the report or the submission by the opposition, as I look at it, in all fairness, I might be wrong, but I don't think it's justice. I don't think it's justice. That's my view, just as you have your own view. That's my view. I don't think. And it is attempting to shift us from the main objective here. And I'm saying this, Chair, precisely because I cannot understand why is there such an overemphasis on the Ginola's report over and above the fact that Ginola is not the President of the Republic. She was just a head of a commission that was expected to report to the President of the Republic. And the President of the Republic, based on the information that he received from this commission of inquiry that he had established in terms of the act, therefore, as a man or woman of integrity, applied his mind, looked at issues and matters that go beyond, and arrived at a very intelligent conclusion to say that, according to my view, I think this is the correct conclusion to arrive at, which is to release Advocate Piccoli. Now, if we have to look at that against the backdrop of the standing of the President of the Republic, why don't we give, therefore, the presidency's report or submission serious consideration in as far as matters of national security are concerned?
Because the head of the presidency raised a very important point, that even those matters of national security were not submitted as in detail to the Kinala Commission, because by virtue of doing that, you are already putting the country into a risk. Because who is there to pick up on such matters of those? Now, if such information was submitted under behind closed doors, or in a manner that is so secretive. Now, we as a committee demand that, or conclude that, on the basis that such information was not presented to us in front of the media, in front of the public, therefore, we cast doubt on the conclusion of the president. I think it is unfortunate on the part of the opposition to have arrived at that particular point. It is on that sense that I would say that it is unfortunate that even this document does not even seek to recognize those important aspects. And for us as this committee, or as a smaller house sitting in session, is to satisfy ourselves as to whether the president was correct on the basis of his observation to have arrived at that conclusion. Of course, Kinala can be used, or we have used it as a reference point, that report. It will assist us, it is put there to assist us to arrive at the conclusion that says the president is correct. But ours is about the president of the republic. And it is therefore on those basis that I'm saying the unfortunate thing that I find in the opposition submission is that it does not assist us. It does not assist us. It's a block. It's a closed session on the part of the opposition that they are submitting to us as a committee, or as an ad hoc committee, to consider in this particular matter. Thank you.
You must keep quiet, because when I speak, I never.
But then when you speak something good,
you,
I will listen. But
you
talking
quiet?
Nonsense. I'm not keeping quiet for you, man. You're
no,
not just lying to some order, please.
Chair. I'm not calling on a point of order. I'm not rising on a point of order. In actual fact, I request that the Honorable Court must withdraw the word that is used.
Which word? Which word?
The word nonsense. I'm not here to speak nonsense. That's
why
the devil and the man is too much.
Balderdash.
Maybe you're speaking rubbish then. Can you some other please? Honorable Honor Merve, please, can you respect them? Because when we are addressing us, they never interrupted you. And when they speak, please respect them as well. You might not agree with what they are saying, but I think we deserve to listen to what they are saying, please.
I'm listening to him, but he's talking
please,
nonsense.
But you keep on interjecting when people are speaking. That's what they are objecting.
Chairperson.
Please.
Is it parliamentary for a member to use the word nonsense? Can you rule on that issue?
I should be pleased. At this point in time,
I wouldn't rule on it. I know that in terms of language usage, for some certain people, nonsense means nonsense. Certain people, but in other languages, nonsense means rubbish. So you should be careful when you use words, nonsense, rubbish, this and that, because those are not, you can be very comfortable when you say nonsense, but other people feel offended when you say nonsense. Yeah. So let's free from that. And I've observed that as soon as somebody doesn't speak what you want and what can be appreciated. One, two, three have been talking to each other.
What's wrong with it?
The wrong thing is that you get wittingly or unwittingly disruptive. And you start offending the person who's speaking as a member of parliament. So I'm simply saying, if you feel comfortable about it, you can continue with it. But other people are not necessarily comfortable about it. So I'm just saying, can we just respect certain parliamentary thing, such that, you see, we've started talking to each other, and then we've started insulting each other, because there was a provocation. So I'm simply saying it's an observation I've made as a chair. So I don't want to see a continuation of such ugly occurrences.
Yes,
from both sides.
Yes, for both of us, but Chairperson, I want to be on record as saying that there is absolutely nothing wrong with members consulting with one another. It is done continually. There's nothing wrong with that. My contribution is very simple. I know why.
Is that your turn to speak now?
I thought you said this myself.
I didn't recognize you. Okay. Yeah, I said you were really last in that order. I did point people and I said you'll speak after. So I give you the chance to express more thanks to everybody here. You're not going to do that. That's the last speaker. You're going to do that. Let us speak after they'll speak up. Not now. Take it easy. Let's. That is.
You are using most of the time speaking.
No, it's fine. Because you are pushing me to speak, isn't it? Member Mokwanis.
No, thank you very much, Chairperson. I think that already the opposition have made contributions on the findings. And their contribution is that Advocate Pikoli be reinstated. But let me first go back to the issue of the submission made by the opposition. That the point raised by Honorable Karim, that most of the issues that they have raised are already covered, should be taken seriously. The issue that I would want to raise to support the view that Advocate Pikoli should not be reinstated, notwithstanding the fact that the opposition have said that the law defines a fit and proper person. But my reading of Section 441(1)(e) of the Constitution on Corporate Governance, it says that all spheres of government and all organs of state within each sphere must, one, not assume any power or function except those conferred on them in terms of the Constitution. Intelligence gathering is not one of the functions conferred on the NPA. Cooperate with one another in a mutual trust and good faith by fostering friendly relations. When Advocate Pikoli or the NPA made all those applications on warrants of arrest, when they did not consult the minister or inform the minister, they were not promoting friendly relations. Now, when you read whether a person is proper, is fit and proper, you look all the laws of the Republic, and especially the Constitution. When an institution or an organ of state does something that is not acceptable in law, not acceptable to them by the Constitution, that's a violation of the Constitution, the head of that institution is responsible. Advocate Pikoli, when this organization, when the Brass Mall was commissioned, he did not read the report. He did not apply the report. He filed the report. He acted in a manner that constitutes dereliction of duty as the head of the institution. The institution conducted an illegal operation. So that is against corporate governance. That is against the Constitution. So we feel that Advocate Pikoli should be removed from his office. We support the president in that decision.
I think that Mr. Tao and I will have many more debates I personally like the manner in which he debates theory. He's a real lion, and I just engage you. And sometimes it gets a bit hotter, and we talk about nonsense and so on, but I don't think you or I really mean it. I want to refer to what he said. He says the document by the opposition is not assisting the ANC.
Correct.
It is sabotaging and destroying the ANC's version. But now let's get to the point. What are we now, what are we discussing? I thought that what we were going to do is not discuss everything again, but just discuss the format of the report. And we have accepted the versions put forward. It's actually like minutes by the ANC. We didn't talk about that. All we want is that ours must be put in the record, in the report. That's all. So if you accept that, then we can adjourn. In an hour and 10 minutes, we hear the budget. So why don't you just accept our version, be real Democrats, accept it, or reject it? Make a decision so that we can leave.
Thank you. Thank you, Kevin. You know, in any court case, you get a majority and a minority judgment. Very often, you get a unanimous judgment or a minority and a majority judgment. The people on the bench, the persons on the bench, approach a matter from different angles. And it is absolutely correct that we cover certain matters and certain issues that raise in the shall be for it and the shall be for. But the conclusion that the opposition comes to is from a different angle. And in all fairness, it has been said here already by Honourable Kurt and Dr. Cash here, namely that just put our report also as a minority report, a minority judgment on the issue in the report, and that's it. The opposition parties already indicated that they go along with a huge fiction of the majority view, but they are also another angle which the minority party, the opposition party, they also indicated, but which they do not agree. And in all fairness, I think that is included, and that is what we can expose today on the calendar.
Yes, Chairperson, I think we've reached the point where we have had deliberations. That's over and done with. We've received a summary of a report of what was said 2-3 days that we met. But we've reached the point now where we open up deliberations again. There is a dispute of interpretation and understanding from different people here. And I think for us to move on is to now, in terms of process, Chairperson, we've answered the questions of clarity on the opposition report. I don't know whether we're going to go in, because we've accepted the version of the ANC this morning, and that we close the matter. But on a lighter note, Chairperson, the list process in the ANC is over. It is no need to still impress to get onto the list. If you're not on the list now, if you're not on the list, you're not going to get onto the list, because we're really taking time now. Valuable time that we could be campaigning.
Well, that the light note is actually addressing the press. Maybe they can sympathize with you and register your point. It's fine. That's what system of pollution and it's terrible. But we are dealing with way forward now. Way forward. We want to be the process and following here. That's it.
Also, on a lighter note, I wonder whether they have these processes or not.
Yes, comrade.
Patricia, it's not an application for the CV on the newspaper. For a list process.
No,
Oh.
I've
seen a very nice one when you apply.
I've written a lighter note, but if it's you, then you must just put it on.
Please. No, this case is an outside agency. We'll allow the two of you to have some bilateral.
Chairperson, one, my understanding is that there is a different organs of state. We have the legislature, we have the judiciary, and the executive. We are not the legislature. We are not the judiciary. If the honorable member can tell us, where do you find the rule in parliament that allows for minority reports and majority reports? That is one. Because Chairperson would object seriously to us having two reports. We will have one report. If we need to vote, the records of the record that the secretariat has will have the people who did not vote for the report. So that it will be like that. If you don't want to vote for the report, you don't vote for it. Your minority numbers will be recorded there. So I would formally move a chairperson that we accept the report. The report as it was presented, the report the ANC presented earlier on, we reject the report, the minority report suggested by the opposition parties, and our findings should be that advocate because it should be released from the duty.
I second, Chair.
Yes.
There was a proposal earlier on. We'll entertain that proposal by Honorable Kwanisha. There was a proposal from Honorable DeLille that even if we reject the report by the opposition, they are proposing that let's just put that the opposition was heavy with the responses by Advocate Pikoli. That's what they're proposing. I wonder if you still want to entertain that or should as well as the So on, I'll come to Honorable Delport and Honorable
I don't think there's a problem, really. We can ask Vanara for advice, if he has legal, that we should, in the argument of Oxford, say that they accept the. Because the ANC is saying we don't accept it. And I think they're correct to say we shouldn't rehash now the deliberation. It's about processing the report. I think Vanara should guide us. There's no problem in putting in, I think, two provisions that they want. One is to say the opposition accept the basic thrust or something of what Advocate Pikoli says. And under finding, I think we should ask Vanara as a lawyer to look at the actual wording of the finding. To look at the wording of the finding. And to see whether it's legally tenable or sound, because, you know, it was drafted by non-lawyers on the advice of the two chairs yesterday morning. And the staff can't be held responsible. The decision's been taken, but now to check the report, to proof it for legal issues, not political content. I think Vanara should have some time to look at that, particularly the findings. The other issue that Vanara must guide us on is whether it's necessary legally to just deal with the issue of a relationship between an inquiry report and a decision of a president, whether it's necessary at all, I'm not sure. But again, that's a legal issue, it's not a political issue. It's something that two chairs can sit with Banana on. So that when we come back, if there are one or two things there, we know, we're not going to quibble about who mandated who to do this. So it's around one, the DA, the opposition party saying they accept the colleague's explanations on Bravo report. Two, is they want to note that they do not accept the report, ask Banana whether we do that and that can be done. And three is something that the two chairs must be mandated to pursue, which is the actual paragraph or paragraph dealing with the finding, whether they legally sound. It's been couched by the researchers on the advice of the chairs, but none of them is
like a lawyer in the way of an ally. So the wording might change here and there, but the content is the same. To also note that, to be fair to the ANC, we did not say, because that you either accept or reject the report. We suggested something in between. We said that the report, for in a much more something, maybe over condensed way, is covered most of the issues. Where it's not, we could add a line or two or so on. So we did say no to the report. I think nobody said no. Mutana himself, who would normally be the first to say no, is not saying that either. I think it should be on record. We're not saying no. We're just saying that look at what we've got there already, and look at what you've given. There may be a gap here and there, that the two chairs can be guided, what you want, and we can slide it in. It's not a big deal. I don't think that's what we mean. We're rejecting the report as a whole. But what you're saying, is that you want a minority report. And what some of you on that side of the bench should know even more, there is no such thing as the deputy chief will be saying. There is no such thing. And I think that we're just over-exaggerating the polarization here. We're not as far as we're saying. Moreover, in dealing with the matter, not on the views we are completely, not even polarized, we're opposite. We're saying he must go, you're saying he must be retained. That's correct. But in managing the report, there is another aspect that must say finally, that in dealing with an issue, we don't just deal with it in a report, we also deal with it in a debate. It has that record thing and so on. So there are things that maybe the opposition feel has not been sufficiently attended to in this report. But the debate will cover some of those things. There are things I personally feel should be on the ANC side that members have cut me out. They said, no, Karim, we're not going to write a report as long as you speak. You know, you've cut me out as well. So I've also lost out on things in presenting the ANC's argument. So I'm just saying that that's it. Thanks.
Thank you very much. That's who booked this venue for 1 o'clock. But let's see if we can finish quickly. Can we be very brief, please, sir? Dr. Van Heert and then Dr. Dell.
Chairperson, they may not be a brewer, but I can tell you that there's a healthy custom regarding minority reports in Parliament. That may not be a rule, and I stand to be corrected. Apparently, there is a rule. But it's a healthy custom that's been used several times already in Parliament. I just want to correct the Honourable Deputy.
Thank you.
May I assist you, sir? There's a rule 168(3)(e) which refers to reports like this that says it must, if it's not a unanimous report, one, specify in which respects there was not consensus, and in addition to the majority report, express any views of a minority in the committee. And we will hold you to that. No, you have not. May I speak, sir?
Fine. What I want to prove is that the rule you are quoting is correct in as far as a minority view, not a minority report. So that's the issue you must differentiate. For this time, we bought a minority opposition report, which has to be inserted here. So the technicality is that, in terms of a healthy practice, you do agree with the opposition party to say, because I don't agree with the majority view, I can express a minority view. So that is not the subject now. It's that you are simply saying a report of minority or opposition parties should be inserted. And that's the difference
because of the rules. Now, based on this deliberation, from this side, we are convinced that the majority view is that we accept exactly what was said by Deputy Chief Whip, that we, as a committee, as an adult committee, the finding, as you have heard, that for the opposition, they were saying, Advocate Piccoli should be reinstated. But the majority party, majority view is that he must not be reinstated. We accept the recommendation by the president that Advocate Piccoli should not be reinstated as the head of NPA. That is the finding of the SADC committee. Now, as expressed by practice. Now, that takes care of this particular subject, but I will check with my co-chair as to whether we need to go the route of voting, because it's widely expressed by everybody here that that's the route of voting, finally. It might not even be necessary for us to vote, because this is the view that they were content with. Thank you very much.
In a matter of fact, the motion which was brought about by Honorable Tau was to the effect that we should support the view which says that we agree with the President and we should vote on that. So any other person who speaks now must lead towards that direction, because that has to be considered.
Chairperson, we know as we sit here that the decision by the majority in this caucus will be to support the President's action against Pikoli. That is the majority view, and that will be the decision and the eventual recommendation. Together with that recommendation goes a report which was put before us yesterday and which we asked for a postponement to later to enable us to go through a specific portion of the report, a portion where the views of the minority parties were noted. What we asked for was that we be allowed to formalize ourselves that minority, because it was jotted down and did not form a coherent unity. That is what we put before you. Not a minority report. We didn't say it says the proposal that the paragraph in the main report be inserted. And the as it stood was the views of the opposition parties in the committee. Not the minority report, the views of the opposition party. It was suggested here that we change it to be in accordance with what will now be 8, the position of the opposition parties. We can go back to the original, what we put before you, the views of the opposition parties. Now, that was what was undertaken here, that we would be allowed to formulate our own views. Because we never had the opportunity of putting those views in a coherent way before this committee. It was rushed. It was absolutely rushed, everything that we did. That was the agreement. And I want to speak now to a young man with a lot of potential and a good friend of mine, the Honorable Mangadisha. And we've come a long way. Never, my young friend, never go back in politics on your word. Even if there's no legal backing for what you undertook. Never, never go back on what you undertook. Because it will come back. And ask older friends, and I can speak to you like this because I'm on no list of no party. So, just take this to heart. And do not be misled by older people who, when they and more experienced people on your own side, when they renege on undertakings. The undertaking by the ANC, and I say this in public, if you stop me, you can do so. You're the chairperson.
No, I want to check on which point I took, because we're busy now talking about Magwanisha, but I thought you were going to express a view about the...
about the proposal by Magwanisha that you reject our request, our proposal here today to insert a paragraph 7, the views of the opposition parties. You are saying No, you stick to how it was formulated by the officials, how it was jotted down, in fact, by the officials. We got the undertaking yesterday that we will formulate our own views. That we have done. Now you are reneging. You're saying, no, you will not be entitled to do that. And that is absolutely, sir, that is absolutely unacceptable ethics.
There's a point of order, by Honorable Magwanishi.
Chairperson, it's not a point of order. It's just a procedural issue. With all humility, Professor Delport, we are under a lot of pressure here. There are people outside. This hall has booked for a church, and it's starting now at 1. I would humbly propose to you, Chairperson, that can't we maybe reconvene to me after the state of after the debate, so that we can finalize this matter. Because the SACC, outside, there are many people outside, and it does not appear good that we delay them. That we reconvene, even if it is before 20 minutes after the debate, so that we can finish this lovely discussion, and we give Dr. Delport enough time to present his argument.
Wait a bit, please. Yeah, no, what we have to do now is to finalize this matter now. The motion was put, and it was seconded, and if there's an opposition, then we can deal with it. Then from there, we have to vote, because you're not going to help and salvage the process, because we're going to come back after 20 minutes. And there is going to be other statements. Because the issues I wanted to raise was that it will be unfair for the members of parliament to employ the services of people you call staff. And from there, you sit down and say, those are not our views. They are staff views. I've never seen such a thing. This practice has been there for many years, from time immemorial. So that we have to shy away from, because this one proceeds with that one, then it's a problem.
Yeah, what are we voting on now?
We are voting on the report. The report, which is the original report, which was put yesterday, which we put in the morning. The report, the minority views were raised, and we said we will consider them, and we said that. And when we came back, it is clear that the ANC feels that most of the issues raised by opposition are captured here.
I'm just asking, what are we voting on?
So we are voting on
if you accelerate the procedure,
you walk out. I walk out now.
That's fine.
I walk out in your report department that the official opposition walked out because of the unfair and the breach of your own promise.
Okay.
Let me look. I think we've reached a stage now where we can conclude. We just need to be clear, and I think you're right, Chris. What are we voting on? Now, let's get some clarity. As I understand it, we're voting on the report as it is, on the basis that, if I'm correct, can the co-chair help, Mokoena, that the proposal he had was, we put in a line, and can Vadara work with Christine, a line that says, Dr. Delport, you can wait, give me a chance, Dr. Delport. So the first thing is we're putting in a line, that's it.
Reacting on the instructions, and there's no point in even listening to you anymore.
No, you're not being fair. No one has given me the instruction. I'm actually seeking. In fact, it's the co-chair that assisted us. You raised the point, Patricia, that you want something to say, that you accepted Advocate Piccoli's... So fine, let's deal. So we're waiting for the report with that included. Secondly, Vanara, am I correct? There's nothing wrong in putting in their point. The opposition parties are unanimously of the view that Advocate Piccoli should be reinstated in his post for the reasons set out in those paragraphs, right? Three. We must be very clear that when we're voting on the report, we are not changing its content, but are we not agreeing to a third point? I just want some clarity for the co-chairs and must be minuted by whoever is taking the minutes, Bonani. The third point is that it is legally
just check that the findings are legally sound. That's what we're asking Vanara to do. Now, there is another possibility, which is having done those three things, we then come back and vote on it then, or we vote on it now, accepting that those three things are acceptable, rather than rehashing the discussion. And again, we are making something very clear. I mean, it's not fair. No one is saying no to this thing. We are saying it is largely covered and where it's not, we are agreeable to negotiating that, but I think we were clear on what we're voting on. And the three things, have we agreed? One, the 2 points you want to make, and two, the 2 points you want to make is two, and point three is just give Vanara an opportunity to enjoy it legally sound, the conclusion. That's all. So I don't know if members want to add.
My final word, what we are voting on is whether we accept the report before us, yes or no. I accept that, we can vote on that, but then I have an amendment that in terms of Joint Rule 168(3)(2), that the views of the minority in the committee be included as drafted by the opposition. That's my amendment.
Included in the what? Agenda. Annexure.
Okay. It's part of I've got my amendment, namely that in terms of that article, that the views of the minority as phrased and drawn up by the opposition be included in the report.
Yeah, just quick comment on the amendment.
No, Chair, for the first time I'll agree with
good.
Rule 168C says the consent directed to you by the views of the majority party. And the researchers can take those and check whether there is no reputation and insert those views, put emphasis on the views that they are raising. No. Good, please. I'm saying here, this right, that is, there are views that they want to put emphasis on them, and the rules allow them that they should do that. I'm saying give the researchers to must put those views of the minority
as emphasis,
and then
must
come and finish
the
report
in the context. My amendment says the views of the minority.
No, we are not
submitted in our document.
No,
let's
not
vote and go now.
Not submitted.
May we now vote on the decision, the finding. The finding is whether the joint ad hoc committee on the Pikoli matter and the decision taken by the president stands or not. Those who are for the decision standing can raise their hand.
Can we be advised by Vanara, do we need to vote together, or the NA will vote, then the NOP will vote separately?
Yes.
Is it a joint committee?
Yes, yes. Over the board. What about, why not 12? Those against? Those, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Don't intimidate
those who abstain. Nobody abstain. So it's clear. The majority say 11 against 5.
And how my amendment?
So we agree on this decision, the finding. Can you one person quickly pronounce on that amendment?
No, Chair. I'm saying the rule that is quoting, at least has gone to check a little bit the rules. He's right. The rules are saying you must accommodate those views that are writing, but it is not a separate report. Yeah, right. Now we're saying the researchers must go and check the repetition on the document and put points of emphasis on what they are raising. We agree with that.
Chairperson, my amendment is in front of you. It's on the table that the views in terms of the section as put by the opposition be included in the report. I ask that we vote on my amendment.
No, you want? vote on this one.
No. I think no, please. Father Member, please. I think we're voted. No, the decision here is that if there will be issues that are not covered in the views of
but
the
but my point of order is that is not the decision here. The proposal is in the form of an amendment. That amendment has been stated clearly by the Honourable Father Member on more than one occasion. You have no right as chairperson to simply, with greatest respect, to simply announce that the decision here is. I know you also take instructions, but really you take instructions now only from the committee.
Thank you very
before
much.
Before the committee, you
thank,
must
thank
put
you
it
much.
To the vote the amendment.
Thank you.
And you cannot change that amendment.
Thank you very much. On that note, the majority of members voted in favor of the proposal by the president. That is the view of this ad hoc committee. We're going to report to our respective houses. Thank you very much, colleague.
What about my amendment? There is an amendment on the table that I have put to you, that which was supported by my colleagues. You've got to put it to the vote with respect, for you.
Honorable Kombela.
Okay. I'm tempted to vote against that amendment because I have said his right, the views that is raised in chair, it needs to be accommodated. He's right in terms of the rules. But we are saying chair, instead of going and write a repetition there, that matter must be given to the researchers, they must check the repetition, but put point of emphasis on what they are proposing as an amendment.
Chairperson, are we going to vote on my amendment or must we walk out?
Let's vote on that amendment.
Governor Chair, look, procedurally, can we be clear? Procedurally is that, Valara, can you guide us? The opposition has had a right since 1994 to propose the amendment. Now, they will propose the amendment and obviously the five hands will go up there. That we will oppose the amendment all away. That is the rule, Valara, is that correct? Now, nobody, not least the chair, have the right to violate the rules of Parliament. And given the sensitivity of the matter, it's not a matter for negotiation with due respect to the chair. Can we formally, I formally move, they must formally have the right to put the amendment and then we will oppose it. It will take 30 seconds. Let's finish it. That's the rules. Can you move before
I have put my amendment, namely that in terms of that section, the opposition's view must be shown, and we say it must be in the form that we have drafted it. I move my amendment.
There is a move to include the views of the majority. Any second?
I don't know.
Thank you. Any opposition to this proposal by the
Chair, the ANC is opposing that proposal.
Can I ask by show of hands, please? Show of hands, thank you very much, Chair. 11 minutes past. So the proposal by Honorable Father Member Fallen Away has been rejected. Thank you very much.
May I just say that.
On that note, the meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much.
There won't be. May I just say to the press present that we will consider holding a press conference as opposition parties. We will let you know of the venue and time. Thank you.
Sentences
on
that.